51. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We take the insert for Holy Trinity as we chant the intro.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us.
I have said the Lord.
This is The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Festival of the Holy Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town. At the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man." The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 8 responsibly, whole verse by whole verse.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens.
Of the field. The birds of the heavens.
reading is from Acts chapter 2. And Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witness. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Alleluia and verse.
According to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Jews answered Jesus, are we not right in saying that you are Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it. He is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing M5. 6, you may be seated. And asserting their own worship as God ordained, but also for their mad and truly demonized prophets who made grand assertions, most notably a Samaritan named Dositheus, who said that he was the Son of God, and another named Simon Magus, who claimed to be the great power. As you can see with these people under their belt, Samaritans have a very, very poor reputation among the Judeans. And the accusation was that Jesus was spiritually unclean, demonized, and a deceiver. So ridiculous was this accusation that Jesus partially ignores the racial slander with all its attached negative connotations, and instead addresses specifically the accusation of being demonized. And it is within this Jesus' response that we glean information about Jesus, and in doing so, the rest of the Trinity. In fact, the more we learn about Jesus, the more we can understand the other two persons of the Trinity. It is the incarnation of the Word, the Logos, the Son of God, that reveals to us the Trinity. The Son of God, made flesh, functions as the touchstone for us to know and understand, in part, at least now, the rest of the Trinity. This is because the triune God reveals himself through Christ Jesus.
our touchstone. We can understand and thus know the Father and the Holy Spirit only when we understand who and what Jesus truly is. The very names of the persons of the Trinity reveal that the intrinsic distinction between the three persons of the Trinity are relational in nature, and not in substance, majesty, power, or glory. For example, without the Son being begotten from the Father from eternity, and therefore outside of time, the Father could not have been the Father, but merely a supreme being. So let the principle stand. The principle that being Jesus, being the key, the touchstone to understanding the Trinity, and that without the Incarnation, we could never have truly known the Trinity, nor the love that emanates so powerfully from the cross, a love that is utterly intrinsic to the actual substance and identity of God. With that principle in mind, that Jesus is the touchstone, let us meditate upon Jesus' answer now, and see what it reveals about him, and thus his relation with the other two persons of the Trinity. First, Jesus shows that he pays deference to God the Father, even claiming that the Father is his Father, when he says, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father." This indicates the nature of how Jesus is actually mankind's touchstone for the rest of the Trinity. The Father is the Father because Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father from eternity. If the Son was not the Son of the Father would not be the Father, but merely, as I said before, a sovereign and supreme being, much like Islam's understanding of God. And yet, our understanding of Jesus, the Son of God's relation to God the Father, is still at this moment incomplete. For the Almighty is not just any Father or any Son, but the perfect Father and the perfect Son, perfect in love according to each person's station in relation to the other. Jesus says that he honors his Father. And how does Jesus honor his Father in heaven? He honors the Father by engaging in the salvific work of the Father, which is the salvation of man through his own suffering, death, resurrection, and most glorious ascension into heaven. Jesus went willingly to the cross because he was following the will of his Father, a will that he himself paralleled with his most perfect and free will, and thus honored his Father by being obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so, in this, we see the defining feature of the relation between each person of the Trinity. That defining feature is the central aspect of God: love. However, at this point, nothing has been said that would directly insinuate Jesus' divinity, nor Jesus being co-equal with the Father. But if we look further ahead in our gospel pericope, Jesus does make a claim of divinity in his response to the accusation of being demonized. There was no misunderstanding Jesus when he said this. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus was saying here that he is God, the supreme being, from whom all being finds their being, and from whom all existence finds its existence. What he's asserting here is that nothing truly exists outside of his own sustaining will. Things exist because he wills it. He is the supreme being. And in saying this, Jesus asserts that he is, in fact, co-equal to the Father and very God. Not only is Jesus the great I am, his Father glorifies him, who is the one who seeks his glory. So this reciprocity of the Father towards the Son's honor and glory shows an equality with the Father. Not only does this I am statement indicate divinity and being co-equal with the Father, it also shows that Jesus, as the Son of God, the very Logos, the very Word of God, pre-existed before time began. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is saying that he is both the source of existence and that he predates Abraham and most assuredly all creation. To see how this is fleshed out more, all we need to do really is to turn to our Old Testament reading, Proverbs chapter 8. In our Old Testament reading, the Son of God, the Word, is personified as wisdom. It was the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ, who the Lord possessed at the beginning of his work. Ages ago, says the Son, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Now, let me draw your attention to that verb, brought forth. This is exactly the same language as being begotten. To be begotten means to be brought out of. For any of us who have been begotten of our earthly fathers, that means to be begotten out of his loins. This is the closest comparison we have for the Son being brought out of the Father in eternity. So the Son was begotten before time began, and thus was begotten in eternity. And we can say that the Son was begotten of the Father while maintaining at the same time that there was never a time when the Son was not, because he was begotten outside of time. So let us continue with our examination on the Christ's pre-existence. For when he established the heavens, I was there. When he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workman. So as we can see from this, the Son was not only pre-existent, but he also partook in the work of the Father in creating time and space. And the Son incarnate, Jesus, still partakes and the work of the Father in his innocent suffering and death, because the Son, as before, still rejoices in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of man, delighting enough to die for us, to have us as his own possession, still delights in the children of man enough to have the Holy Spirit proceed from him and the Father to create faith, sent out in the preached word and in baptism. Thus, the Son says to us this very morning, and every day the word is proclaimed among you, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. And what does the Son, wisdom personified, call out? Repent and believe in me, says Jesus, for the salvation of your body and soul unto life everlasting. Come, you weary, and enter into my rest. This is the natural work of God. And in this salvific work, does man find the actual meaning of glory? For when Jesus was saying, I do not seek my own glory, and that there is one who seeks it, that one being the Father, he is properly speaking of the salvation of man. Truly, it is the glory of God to save mankind from their sins. It is the Father's glory to send the Son and accept the Son's sacrifice as a propitiation of sins. The Son gives his Father honor in carrying out the mission of salvation given to him by the Father. And it is the Son's glory to win salvation for man according to the will of the Father, to die on the cross and be raised, loosing the pangs of death so that we might become sons of God, to enter into the divine family of the Godhead as honored inheritors, sons. And as we will soon see, it is the Holy Spirit's glory to bring Christ to the hearts of the nations. The Son and the Father send the Holy Spirit for this strict purpose. For the Son, being raised from the dead and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus was not raised from the dead and translated into heaven, then the Holy Spirit could not come. as Jesus himself testifies in John chapter 16. But now I am going to him who sent me, him being the Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. The Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This promised Helper, this Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, was then poured out after Jesus' ascension at Pentecost, according to his own words. It is this pouring out of the Holy Spirit that illuminates our hearts and provides additional proof that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who was crucified. The Holy Spirit, ever since Pentecost, now abides in the world through the hearts of those whom he has called to himself in Christ, continually illuminating and teaching the sons of God, known as Christians, in the ways of righteousness, in the way of Christ Jesus. It is the glory of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father and the Son sends, to bring us to Jesus, who is in the Word and Sacrament, which is only found within the Church, the very Bride of Christ, our Mother. It is the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us in the blood of Christ, whom the Father sent as a propitiation for sins. And so it is through and by the Son that God the Father pours out the Holy Spirit upon His Church and communicates to us Jesus Himself in bread, wine, water, and word to the salvation and comfort to all who hear and believe. So may God the Father of all mercies, the Son, Redeemer of man and lover of the lost, and the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier and bringer of faith, comfort, forgive, and strengthen us all through the good gifts God so lovingly bestows on us each and every divine service. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
At this time, please take out the insert in your bulletin that says the Athanasian Creed. It is our privilege once a year to confess this Athanasian Creed, the greatest expressions of the Holy Trinity. Throughout the Creed, when it says Catholic, it means the universal, small letter C, Church of all time. Please note the responses in boldface, alternating between the congregation, men and women. We stand to speak the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally.
The Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither refusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
Yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord,
so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in the Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages.
And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in his age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of the person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
Those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
The prayer of the Church. Blessed Father, from whom comes all good and all grace, we thank you for the gift of life, the redemption that you provide in Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit, to know you by faith, to be adopted as your children by baptism into the holy name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, your Son was the voice that spoke all things into existence, and your grace still preserves all you have made. Grant us your Holy Spirit to know your word, to keep it in faith through all the days of our pilgrimage on earth, that joined with faithful Abraham and all Christians, we may live in your presence evermore. To that end, bless Trinity Lutheran Church, Early Childhood Care Center, Campus Ministry, International Ministry in English as a Second Language, and our Sunshine Station. Also bless Vicar Paul Brzezinski as he served you in Puerto Rico, and bless the work of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, bringing the scriptures and doctrinally sound materials into all the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed Father, you establish marriage, you sanctify our homes, and bless them with your love. Give parents and children, grandchildren and grandparents to be united in your love, in this common life by your Spirit to serve you. Grant that you be this week with Megan Tamale, Leland Ward, Camden Hager, Rachel Mikey, Emily Kimball, Austin Peters, Karen Gorman, and Steve Wente as they celebrate their baptism and birthday. And bless Wayne and Susie Brown, Bill and Jackie Mullen, Ellen and Michelle Law, Joel and Barbara Anderson, Lauren and Sandy Dunaway as they celebrate their anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Father, you establish all the kingdoms of this world for our benefit. Give wisdom to those who serve, that they render their work as rulers according to Christ, kings who reign according to your word. We pray for the protection of the unborn child. We pray for those suffering from the disaster of storms and tornadoes and floods. We pray for Gabe Stecker, Mike Gobble, Alex Laffin, Calvin Ullman, and Eli Wiley as they serve in the military, as we pray for peace in Syria, Israel, Palestine, Ukraine, and Iran. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us healing and patience in the midst of affliction. Be with the ailing, the dying, and those in need of strength in their suffering. Bless Virginia Schweiger, Elliot Thostenson, Sandy Cole, Linalee Kucurik, Ember Ward, Candy Darmody, Betty Tinney, and Mike Knox, Fern Stein. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, we thank you from whom all fatherhood is named, for our earthly fathers and grandfathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of a godly life and the love of your word. Bless the work of all fathers on this Father's Day to walk in the instruction of the Lord. Give them the comfort of your absolution despite our shortcomings. And gather us together with all fathers to your eternal household, where you reign, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
As we gather the offerings, please take the attendance pad on either side of the pew, fill it out, tear it out, and put it in the basket in the narthex as you depart. We may now be seated. We now take the offerings.
Sing the offertory, page 159. Please stand.
And we'll
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and soul to life everlasting.
Face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.